Where are we? The following message was preached by Brother Amos on the evening of Thursday, the 9th of December, 2004, at Faith Assembly, Jeffersonville, USA, a day after the burial of Brother Jackson. I greet everyone in the name of the Lord. I want to appreciate the family of our precious Brother Jackson. You are a wonderful family in the way you have conducted yourselves all these years, and particularly at the funeral. It is incredible, and to God be the glory. We thank God for your lives, for the support, the total, complete support you gave to the ministry of our brother. God bless you richly. I appreciate Sister Jackson, and I thank God for the grace of God upon her life. God has set you as a light, as an example in your humility, and total support for our brother. We thank you. I appreciate Brother James Allen and Brother Bob Thompson. They have stood all these years, for many years, in complete harmony and unity, complete and unreserved support. They have shown exampleship and a dedication and a unity that we are going to see in the ministry of the bride. I just want them to know we are totally behind them in the light of truth. We appreciate you. They are honest mean brethren, and they are wonderful. God bless you richly. I appreciate my fellow ministering brothers. I can say this ministerially, I came out of due season, but these men have borne the burden of the day. God bless you richly. I appreciate each and every one. I just pray that God would help me tonight. But I also want to appreciate somebody, and I do not say this in any capacity other than by the virtue of being a brother, and I believe that anybody has a right to appreciate somebody. So it is in this capacity I want to appreciate Brother Billy Paul Branham. I never met him in all my life, but I am really very impressed that he will come to honor our precious brother. Not only did he come to the funeral home, he also came here for the burial service. For me, it is humility, and that is maturity, and also a sign of respect for our precious brother. And I hope that the Branham movement would learn something from that. Because if he had no respect for Brother Jackson, he wouldn't be here. I really appreciate it. And that tells me something. And I pray that people are able to take a cue from that. I appreciate the humility and the love. I look to God tonight to help me. I remember when I heard the news about the passing away of our precious brother, it was a shock. I suppose that Brother Allen and Brother Bob had been trying to get me by phone, but they just couldn't get through. But Brother Clarence Hester eventually got through. It was towards the evening of the day, that Saturday. And 10 minutes later, Sister Sue Hodge also got through to me, and it was like, no. But God is sovereign, and God is perfect in all His ways. So, my wife and I had to come. We could not but come, because God has used Brother Jackson to do so much for us. And I would have shied away from preaching tonight, because I am a little timid, and also, you know, because of the shock, the pressure of the moment. But there was a dream a sister had back home, and when she gave it to me, it was like God was instructing me not to turn down any invitation when given. So when Brother Allen and Bob asked me to preach, they said, "Can you do it?" But I remembered I had been given a warning back home about a week ago. So I said, "Just pray for me. I look to God. So I need your prayers tonight." Let us bow our heads in prayer. My Father, Lord, you have been the help of your people all through ages of time. There is no strength in any man. Your grace, Father, has always made the difference. You alone made the difference in the life of the prophet to this age, and in the life of our precious brother, thy servant that you just called home. And you alone will make the difference in the life of the ministry of this hour. Lord, I look to thee tonight. You know my frame. May you help me. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to take a text in Isaiah chapter 21. It is just a springboard for my message. Isaiah 21 verse 11. The burden of Duma. He calleth to me out of Seir, "Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night?" That is, what is the condition? How far? The watchman said, "The morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come." I want to take a little message tonight. It is just a little thought, where are we? That is the title of my message. Where are we in the bride? Where are we? And I say this to the whole world, and particularly to the critics and the opposition to the ministry of our precious brother Jackson. God catches the wise in their conceit, and he sets them on a very slippery pathway from which there is no return. To the opposition, I say this, God calling home our precious brother does not change anything in the bride. God taking home his own servant, who has done a perfect work, does not change anything in the plan of God for the bride of Christ. Instead, his passing away moves it on. I want to say a few things tonight, and I just look to God for the little thought he has laid in my heart, that God would help me. If the opposition and the antagonists hear he is now gone, I know what their reaction would be. I pray God would help me, because I want to say this, the calling home of our precious brother, firstly, does not put the bride in a bus stop, it does not bring the bride to a place of stagnation. It is because they do not know God. I don't say that to you. I say that with reference to the opposition. So if you think it is all over now, you have something coming. God does not put, and will never put, the bride in a bus stop. There is no stagnation for the bride of Jesus Christ. God also will never ever derail the bride of Christ of the end time. She was derailed at the end of the first church age, and she is never ever to be derailed again. So you must understand the demise of our brother does not, and will never derail the bride of Christ. Rather, it is to move her on. For us, it is hard to let him go, because of the wonderful work God used him to accomplish for the bride of Christ universal, the exampleship he gave, and the grace, and the profound prophetic revelatory anointing upon his life, which God used to move the bride to such a level, such an incredible level. Of course, we do not want him to go, but his being taken home does not derail the bride, because God does not defeat his own purpose. You must understand that. Neither does God walk against his own purpose. God will never ever defeat his own purpose, and he will never walk against his own purpose. Whatever he does is in furtherance of his purpose, and to move his purpose on. Though we mourn, yet, brother, we rejoice, because we know, brother, it is the beginning of something. It is to set something in motion. It is to prepare something. And so if you think that it is over for the people following the continuity of light, you have something coming. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, in verse 12 and verse 13, we see a picture, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. In Matthew 28, women went to the graveside of Jesus, but they met an angel of the Lord in dazzling white, and he told them, Jesus is not here, he is risen. Go tell the disciples, he will meet them in Galilee. And whilst on their way, Jesus appeared to them, and let them know, I am alive. I have to say tonight, God called home our brother, but Jesus is alive. He is alive. It was Christ in the eighth man, but Christ is still here tonight. He is in his bride, to move on the bride. We see seven churches in the book of Revelation we just read. They are seven royal churches, the church of the king, but the seventh one is the focal one for us. Because thus speaks of the bride of Christ of the end time. That is you and I. But we see Jesus in the midst of seven candlesticks. But they are royal candlesticks, because they are golden. That is the church of the king. That is a royal church. That is the bride of Jesus Christ. But for you and I, the preeminent church, the preeminent candlestick, is the seventh one, because that is the one that applies to you. That is the one that is applicable to us now, because we are the seventh candlestick. We are the seventh church, typified by the local assembly in Laodicea, in Asia Minor. This is the day, and this is the hour that it points to. But this seventh church, which is the bride of Christ at the end time, is a royal church, the church of the king. And Jesus is in the midst of her, directing her, controlling her, ruling her, unveiling himself to her, to move her on in the perfect will of God, because we are going up. And whatever God does is to move the bride up to the time of her departure from this earth. There is nothing God does that does not move the bride forward. So therefore, if people think that because he has gone, now they can do their own thing, your day is over. With the passing away of our precious brother, I tell you, your day is over. If you think it is not so, let us wait and see. We are all on the ground together. Because his death just shows you that you have crossed a line. You crossed a line. By his death, it shows you just crossed a line. You may not think so, but watch it, because we are in the day. You will see, because there is nothing that is going to stand in the way of the bride. No man. Nobody. Because God is bigger than anybody and anything. But concerning the will of God for the bride, for which Christ died, there are not enough devils. And there are not enough men to make a difference. Watchman, what of the night? Where are we? We will take Ephesians 2 from verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Paul is talking to the Gentiles, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. Verse 20. And I built. The church is built. And I built upon the foundation. It is a platform of revealed faith. And outside of the platform, you are not even part of the church. Outside of the foundation, you do not belong. Outside of this platform, you are not talking bride language, and you will never minister to the bride. You can have all your agenda. You can go from house to house convincing people and using dreams. You are wasting your time, because your day is just over now. God catches the wise in their conceit, and sometimes God will give you what you want. But when you get it, all you have asked for, and all you receive, is nothing other than a nightmare. You only got yourself a nightmare. You think you have given yourself a ministry. You only got a nightmare. So, if you think because he has gone, so now is your day, you just lost it. And I built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. This is a platform for the church, which is the apostolic revelation. It is not a foundation of ideas. It is a foundation of pure, infallible revelation of Jesus Christ, committed to the apostles and prophets. Hold it there. It is not the New Testament prophets. It is the Old Testament prophets. Because before you had a prophet to the New Testament, you first had apostles. And whoever would be a prophet had to be established upon the foundation that the apostles set in place. This scripture is referring to the Old Testament prophets, who prophesied of a dispensation of grace. Come with me to 1 Peter. We are coming back to Ephesians. Hold that page, but let us go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now watch, of which salvation the prophets. Now which prophets was Peter referring to? Old Testament prophets. It is not the New Testament prophets, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, grace that should come unto us. It wasn't for them, it was for us. Yet they prophesied of the grace to come, of salvation in Christ. It was foretold. They saw something by the eye of the Spirit, and they foretold it, prophecies upon prophecies. Verse 11. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. Not that Christ existed back then, but it was the Spirit of God, which was in Christ, that was in the prophets. They foretold this thing, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us. Are you not happy? They did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, that is, the New Testament ministers, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Now watch this. I love this, which things the angels desire to look into. Ephesians verse 20. And I build upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Old Testament prophets, because they prophesied of something, but who established that something when the hour came. It was the apostles. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That is the focal point, the beginning point, and he is the ending of it all. Verse 21, in whom all the building, that is the body of Christ, fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. But what is the foundation? The revelation of the apostles. That is the foundation of the platform that the early church derailed from, and it was very needful that the God of creation, who has promised to get a bride for his Son, and whose will and purpose can never be defeated, it was needful that he brought the bride back to this same foundation. How did he do it? That brings you and I to Malachi, which you already know. So I am not going to take time on it. In Malachi 4 verse 6b, God provides that at the end of time, he will send Elijah, the Spirit, that was invested in William Marion Branham, to turn the heart of the end-time children, that is you and I, to their fathers. Who are our fathers? That is the apostolic fathers, the founding fathers and original custodians of the faith of Jesus Christ. So Elijah restores back something. It is to give in accessibility, once again. It is to give in accessibility something. And what we were given becomes the framework for the bride, because it becomes the platform. But church, when they asked Brother Branham, will the bride of Christ have a ministry? He said, yes. It is in the seals book. He said, yes, she will have a ministry. It is made of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Listen, but he also said it will be a humble ministry. Why did he say humble? Because he knew something. The dealership of the Spirit of God, principally with the bride, has to be revelatory. That is why it would be humble. It has to be revelatory, because it is the revelation of the Word of God the Lord is using to prepare the bride, to transform our lives, to bring us to maturity, that we may grow in spiritual image. It is not miracles that does that. It is not signs and wonders that does that. That you cast out devils, heal the sick, doesn't make you spiritual. A lot of people do that and are still going to hell. And Jesus said, I never even knew you, ye workers of iniquity. Matthew 7 verses 21 to 23 tells you that. We cast out our devils, in your name we did many wonderful works. We are not taking away the supernatural from the body of Christ, but you are looking at the icing on the cake. But there is something more preeminent and more important for the bride right now. It is a voice of the Spirit. The voice of revelation. That is what God is going to use to adorn her soul, to clothe her, and get her ready. That is her wedding garment. So therefore, the preeminent dealing of the Spirit of God, as he deals with the bride at the end time, is revelatory. And for the past 38 years, that is what God has been doing in preeminence. He is in a quiet, silent, general, but serious dealership of the Spirit, as God began to unveil the Scriptures. But watch, Brother Branham restored us to something. He gave back in accessibility a truth, and as the end-time scribe householder in Matthew 13 parable, he brought things out of his treasure, old and new, old truths, and new revelation. All that became his voice in totality, and that is what he gave to the bride, and that formed the platform, that formed the foundation. But he said, the bride will also have a ministry. But what we did not recognize or realize is this, and that is exactly what our precious brother Jackson had been saying all this while. The starting point for the Ephesian ministry is the chief apostle. The starting point of it. That is why I said, the people who think his death has changed things don't know anything, and may God have mercy on your soul. We all heard him day after day. The starting point for the Ephesian ministry is the chief apostle's office. Yes, we know the apostles come first. For our critics logging on, I do not want to speak in the air. I take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. From verse 27, it says, now ye are the body of Christ, watch, and members in particular. Specific member. Verse 28, And God hath set some in the church, in the body of Christ, in the bride of Christ. God set things, God established. It means God positioned in the body, first apostles, plural. Then it goes on, secondarily prophets. Secondarily prophets, but they are secondary, and they are no less important. But we are looking at order, I said we are looking at order, divine order, not my order. God hath set in the church first apostles. Before you think of the placing of a prophet, the apostles come first. I defy anybody, I challenge any man, to say it is not the order of establishment. Before you think or even talk of prophets, the apostles must be on the ground first. But there is a starting point for even that apostolic fold. It is the office of the chief apostle. I take you to 1 Corinthians 3, because God set in the church first apostles. Let them fight that. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. It is a partnership, but it is God ordained. It is not man's will. It is just God's sovereign will to share this work with human beings. What a privilege. What a privilege. And it behoves us to be careful, to be humble, to be faithful, and to be sincere. For we are laborers together with God. Now watch. Paul said, ye are God's husbandry. He also uses another word, ye are God's building. That is the church. That is the bride. That is the building of God. But who are the builders? The ministry. The efficient fivefold ministry. It is a fivefold ministry, but God starts first with the head. We have heard Brother Jackson say time after time that the birth of anything starts with the head, whether the birth of an animal, a bird, or a human being, it starts with the head. But the starting point of that head is what I want to bring out. And he said it, how many times, the head is not one man, nor is the efficient ministry one man. One man can't do the work. The starting point for this ministry is the office of the chief apostle. Look at 1 Corinthians 3 that we are reading. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which it is God's grace that makes any man anything, so all the glory goes to God, for no man is anything of himself. But the grace in the life of God's people makes us see God's glory upon them, and also appreciate grace. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, watch, as a wise master builder, singular. He is not the only builder of the church, but he called himself the wise master builder. He did not use the word master builders. He used the word master builder, singular, a wise master. Now, that is the office of Jesus Christ. Jesus is a wise master builder. But look at Paul here. He said, I am a wise master builder, singular. Watch, I have laid the foundation, definite article. That is the platform. That is the platform. This is Paul speaking, and another buildeth. Who is the another? That is the ministry. That is the efficient ministry. That is the fivefold ministry. Another buildeth because one man is not the only builder. It is a fivefold ministry. But there is a starting point. It is the chief apostle. But it also lets you know these builders would have to be in place. Yet there is a place for this starting point. Take him away, you have nothing. His position is so crucial. It is so important. It is so paramount, because he is the instrument God is going to use to establish something infallible, and something that can never be knocked down. Something that stands, something heaven will back up, and approve, and vindicate. The only thing heaven will receive is what? The platform of revealed apostolic continuity truth. It is what this wise master, singular, master builder, not master builders, but wise master builder, will set in place. That is the chief apostle. I received a letter in the post in Nigeria. A brother wrote me about He That Is To Come, a book I published. He said, Brother Amos, you are a green snake in the green grass. He said, one of these days, my God is going to crush you for making Brother Jackson the chief apostle, for that is the position of Jesus Christ. Indeed, Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1 says that Jesus Christ is the apostle and high priest of our profession. Is that right? Hebrews 3:1 clearly states that Jesus is the apostle, for the apostle is Jesus Christ. So he said, how could you have said Brother Jackson is the apostle? You are a green snake. I didn't bother to reply him, because in Romans 11 verse 13, Paul also said, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. He did not say an apostle. He said, I am the apostle. Oh Paul, you are not Jesus Christ. Jesus is the apostle. How can you claim also to be the apostle? There you go. The truth is, Jesus is characterized in Paul because the unseen Christ, his unseen headship, is expressed through the same mystical body ministry. Are you with me? So it means this: Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles by the Spirit of Christ. Why? God was going to use him as the chief, the master builder, the apostle, to lay the plumb line and establish a foundation, a framework of faith that would be the basis and the means whereby anybody called into the ministry would be called and established. I said earlier, the starting point of the fivefold ministry is the office of the chief apostle. That one man is not the only one that constitutes the head, but he is the beginning point of it. That is why he is a chief. That is the Paul of today. He is the starting point, and he is the preeminent office for the mystical body of Jesus Christ. And that is why Paul said, I, as a wise master builder, a personal, singular pronoun, have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for of the foundation can no minister lay, for no other foundation can anybody lay. Why am I taking this route? It is to show you something which you already know, but just to rub it in and make it evident, because our brother didn't die in vain, and if they think he did, they have something coming. Church, God, after he had raised a prophet, using him to call out a bride and to restore truth, raised up the office first of the chief apostle. Yes, many men are called based upon a potential, but God set first in the church apostles. That is why I have to say, in the bright following tonight, I don't know who has been commissioned to be an apostle. I don't know. In our following, I am not talking of imposters out there. I don't know what man has been told by God, I have called you, you are going to be an apostle. No one. But does that mean there will be no apostles? They are already there in the body, potentially. The potentials are there. The men are there. Even prophets. Even evangelists, brothers, and so on. But watch, God has a divine order and a divine way. You have to realize I am trying to address, and I am addressing the critics tonight. And also, I want to show you something, and that is that our portion is a good portion, and we must give God glory and praise, because God is perfect in all his ways, and what God has done for us will be permanent. It is permanent. There is nothing the devil can do about it. But it means this: once the prophet came and restored truth, a framework was set. But church, it did not produce unity, because the efficient ministry is what gives unity. That is why they are going to bring the body to a point where we all believe the same thing and speak the same thing. So unity hangs upon the efficient ministry, and that is why we need one another. And brothers and sisters, this efficient body of ministry will glue together like a jar of molasses. There is nothing the devil can do about it. And if you think we are going to scatter, well, any man can wish anything. It does not make you God, and that is all I will say to that. But watch, once the prophet was taken off the scene, God was going to raise up an army of men in the efficient ministry, but he started first with the starting point of that ministry, which is the chief apostle. Why did he do that? God was going to use him in an astounding way to build into the framework established. I said he was to build into the framework, to weave into it. That is why it is a continuity message, and that is why Brother Branham, in page 567 of the Seals book, said, there is somebody to come, not people, but someone, a great man. Someone is going to come. And that is none other than the chief apostle. And we can't fight that. It is still the truth. Why? That is the starting point of the entire efficient ministry. That is not the all, but God has a beginning point, and that beginning point is so fundamental. Why? Because in the first church, in the early church, that is the office God used for the Gentiles, to establish the platform of salvation, and the platform upon which the ministry was built. That is why I said, you watch. When God raised up our precious brother, Raymond Jackson, God gave him a grace. God gave him an anointing. God imparted to him divine insight. It was a prophetic revelatory anointing he had, the Semi-Gul anointing upon the prophet. Because you must not forget, there is no minister but the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of God that makes the difference. The Spirit of God came upon this man, and church, he went into the deep things of God, because Brother Branham was used in 1963, only to open up that rock, and also to take the bride in. And no sooner had the rock of revelation been opened up, giving accessibility to divine revelation, which door is going to be shut one of these days. Brother, about 2.5 years later, God took the prophet home. But listen, the prophet had been used to open the door to fulfill the dream of our precious brother, Brother Jackson, when he spoke about the rock of revealed truth dream, and Brother Branham constantly kept referring to it, even in the seals. But no sooner had that rock been opened up and accessibility given unto the bride, God took away the prophet. And in the book of Revelation, all we had revelatorily from the prophets were just chapters 1 to 6, and that gives you the seven church ages and the false six seals. The seventh seal was not broken. From chapter 7 to chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, we had no understanding. The prophet intended preaching on the seven vials, the seven trumpets, but he never did. He did not preach on the woman of mystery of Revelation 12. But church, here came Raymond Jackson, a precious brother, and God used him to walk upon the same framework, and God used him to expand that framework. He built truths into it. It is a continuing ministry to the ministry of Brother Branham. He built into the same framework as he began to weave truth into it. Brother, God was taking him through the deep things of the Bible that only the eye of a prophetic man could see by the Spirit of Christ. Brother, you know it. The two trees, the testing and fall of Satan. And brother, when God brought him to the book of Revelation, he opened up virtually everything to the last. And church, we can say this, the bride of Christ has been dealt with like never before in the revelation of truth. The Bible tonight is an open book because God raised up a chief apostle to build into something and extend it. Brother, it is an extension. It is an extension message. It is a continuing message. It is not another message. But church, you must understand something. What is Brother Branham's message? What is Brother Branham's message? If the Bible says he will turn our heart to the faith of the apostles, and when he was taken to glory in a message titled, Behind the Curtain of Time, he said, I preach what Paul preached. What then is Brother Branham's message? It is the apostolic revelation. Can I hear amen? Brother Branham's message is the apostolic revelation. It is what is in the Bible already. And so Brother Jackson came and was used by God to continue the message. It is a continuing ministry, and God used him to bring continuity to the message, shedding further light, fortifying the foundation established, and according to the plan of God, he has built truths into the framework. And church, accessibility to divine revelation was given to the bride in such a proportion that no other age ever had, and the things the bride of Christ know tonight through that man is marvelous, and it is what God did. It is Christ in his royal church, adorning the bride with the deep and rich things of himself. But what we have tonight, Apostle Paul didn't even have. The things we know tonight, John the beloved apostle did not know. Yes, he received a fantastic insight into the revelation of Christ in the book of Revelation, but the meaning he didn't have, because it was given to him in symbols. It was not to be made known until God first opened it up through the instrument that he set on the earth, Brother Branham, to open the door and take us in. But that access was just the beginning of something, and about 2.5 years later, God took him home. Oh my! But there was one man on the ground, Raymond Jackson, because I want you to see what God has done in these past 38 years, and also to let you know that there is nothing God does that is not permanent. And there is nothing God does that is not perfect. That is why I started by saying to the critics, if you think the death of our precious brother mars everything, you don't know your Bible yet, neither do you know what God is doing, and neither can you see what God is doing. But it also lets me know your time is out. I don't say that to the bride of Christ, but I say that to these men who will not humble themselves to truth and humble themselves to the rulership of the Word of God and to the dealership of the Spirit of the Lord. Church, saints of God, Paul said, the foundation I laid remains. Whoever builds has to build on it. That means this: when God has used the principal office of the apostolic ministry, which is the chief apostle, to build into this framework, after the death of the prophet, then church, it means this: that becomes the basis upon which any man in the ministry will minister. It becomes the platform, the infallible and only platform, and the basis upon which any man called into the Ephesian ministry will minister to the body of Christ. There is no one around the whole globe, I don't care what his name is, that is going to minister to the bride who is not established upon the foundation of truth, the extended, the deep and rich foundation of continuity truth, a solid foundation the chief apostle has been used by Christ to lay down. Any man who will be an apostle, any man who will be a prophet, any man who will be an evangelist, pastor, or teacher, I don't care, it will be on the platform. Outside that, you have no ministry to the bride of Christ. You can lead a bunch of chickens, but you will not have one eagle with you. The revelation the chief apostle brought, therefore, is not a new message. It is the same message. Because what Brother Branham brought is to restore us to what? To our fathers, our apostolic fathers. What did he give us? Apostolic revelation. And what does the chief apostle give us? It is an extension of it. It is still the apostolic light. But the point is this. It means this. What we have tonight by the grace of God in the past 38 years is more than what God used the prophet to give to us. Is that right? That is why I said God used the prophet to take us into the book of Revelation, but only into the first 6 chapters, essentially. But tonight, what wonderful revelations we have received. That book is an open book, and you know that. We can go in and out. Why? Because of one instrument under God. Church, thank God for Brother Jackson. Thank God he crossed my path, and brother, God opened my eye to his ministry. Thank God he opened my eyes to the continuity truth in the contender. Thank God I have the privilege by God to sit under his ministry and to hear precious words from his lips. That is why tonight, I dare any man to say what I preach is not the truth. It is the truth. It is an infallible foundation that is laid. Outside of that foundation, you have no ministry to the bride. Think of this. So much has been shared. So much of the Bible has been opened up. It is like every major prophecy of the scriptures has been opened up for the bride. Now consider this. You call yourself an apostle. You call yourself a prophet. You call yourself an evangelist, a pastor or teacher, and you want to minister, but you do not know what the bride knows because you have not been schooled. Then it means this: no man can minister to the bride who has not been established upon the chief apostolic foundation. That is what it implies, because that is the starting point, and that is the foundation layer. For what? For the builders, and for the church. It is the foundation. There will be no ministry that will be ignorant of the truth, and yet will minister to the bride, ignorant of the truth, to the measure that God has given it, through our precious brother. Am I making sense? There is nobody that will minister to this bride, for I refer not to another one, but to this royal bride, this seventh one, this one bearing the number of completion, a bride that God has all his eyes upon, a church Jesus is dealing with tonight in preeminence, except he is founded on that foundation. Because the attention and focus of Jesus is on this seventh church bride, his intercessory ministry, brother, focally, is on this bride. This is the seventh candlestick. It is a royal one. Then it means this: there is no way God will position in office a man who is ignorant of the revelation of truth the Lord has given the bride access to that measure that the bride already has it. It will not work. Then it becomes certain, nobody, I repeat, no man anywhere, I don't care where he is, whether in Congo Brazzaville, or in the Arctic region, or in South America, or in Japan, Europe, Australia, anywhere, he will not minister to the bride unless he is established upon this extended framework that God has used our precious brother to establish. Because everyone who is called is called into the truth, and he is called in defense of the truth, and he is called in application of the truth, for the bride of Christ, because it is the truth that will use to dress the bride. So, if people think they can go their own way, and do their own thing now, simply because they feel, well, the man who used to be the stumbling to our ministry has passed away. He was a stumbling to no one. You only stumbled yourself because you would not listen to God. You would not let God have his way. You just want to build your own kingdom. And we will see where it all winds up. What do you build if it is not untruth that amounts to anything? What? What can you build outside what God is doing that would amount to anything? That is why I said, the day is over, it is over, for men's selfish plans and ways. If you don't think so, you watch. We will all hear. We will hear the news. But note, Brother Jackson is the chief apostle. Yes, but he is not the star messenger to this age. No. But church, nonetheless, he is the principal officer within the Ephesian ministry. And in fact, he is the chief within the apostolic ministry. The principal office of the Ephesian ministry are the apostles. But the chief of them is the chief apostle, which the Bible calls the apostle, or the wise master builder. Every other apostle has to build upon that foundation he sets. There will be no apostle who is not established on this extended foundation. So let these false apostles out the ring the message movement hear that. You will not be an apostle to the bride, unless you are planted on this foundation, because you would not know what you are talking about, and the bride would laugh at you, because they would say you know nothing. That is the truth. They know you know nothing. And church, this infallible foundation is the basis upon which anybody would be set in place in the ministry. And God used Brother Jackson, he that is to come, to set that foundation. But church, he did a marvelous work. We did not want him to go, but God knew, my son, the foundation you have set by my spirit is perfect. You have equipped my men. You have given them an understanding of the Bible. The Bible is now an open book. All they need to do now is to use the truth, and by my spirit, walk upon my people, and the difference will be clear. God decided to take him home, because he has finished his work. No, no, no. We are not like the Branham movement who say he is coming back. No, 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 we are not like them. We will see him in the rapture. And the beauty of it is that the rapture is just a few days' time. Just a few days. Few days to go. Why? Because of the time frame left. The coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. Because church, God used that man to lay an infallible foundation. And nobody can tear it down. You will not have Bible for it. But that is what God used him to do, to lay a solid, infallible, indestructible foundation for the ministry. Next year will be 40 years since the prophet passed away. And it has been almost 40 years of wilderness journey for the Branham movement. And in that time, brother, you know what God told Moses. From 20 years old and upward, they must rot in this wilderness. And God raised up a new body of ministers. All the old priests died out, even all those old men, the old ministry. God raised up a new body of ministry, men who would not be murmurers, men who would not be stubborn, and self-willed, and ambitious. They were men that would appreciate grace, and let God be God, and be happy just to do God's will, and be satisfied, and content that grace even brought them into this way of life. But of that old order, that class of old men, only Joshua and Caleb remained on crossover. And for us, 38 years journey has been in this wilderness, and also in this wilderness era, God has raised up a new body of ministers. He did it through our precious brother, whom God just took home. But church, let me say this. It is not a new truth he brought. It is the same truth. And when I say it is not a new truth, please, don't stumble on that. I meant it is not a new message. That is what I meant. It is a continuity message. But what is that message? It is the apostolic revelation. That is the message of the hour. It is the apostolic revelation. That is what Brother Branham brought. That is what Brother Jackson extended. It is the apostolic revelation. It is what the apostles gave us in this Bible. Brother Branham restored us to it. And that is what God used Brother Jackson to extend, and he made us understand that you cannot put a full stop to the dealership of the Spirit of God. You cannot put a full stop to the unveiling of the Word of God. There is work for the faithful ministry to do. The foundation has now been set. Now you and I are facing an era God is going to release His army. That is the era we are now in. I believe that with all my heart. Because, brother, God has trained men. He has tutored men. He has schooled them Himself. By His grace, they have stood all these years faithful, humble, and God has given them an understanding. And church, I believe with all my heart, now that the foundation has been laid, the hour is now here for God to start that ministry that will set the ball rolling for the work. And you will see a grace in the ministry you never imagined, because no man ministers of himself, for there is a glory upon that ministry. But watch, I don't want to take too much time. God is He that would bring perfection, and God will use men that He has trained and tutored and found faithful. It is God's grace, and God will turn them loose. But something we know tonight is this: let Brother Branham remain on the scene. And as long as Brother Branham was on the scene, the chief apostle could not go far off. There had to be a cap upon his ministry. Why? The preeminent office was on ground. The major vessel the Spirit of God was dealing with in preeminence, Elijah. Everything rallied round him. Likewise, leave Brother Jackson to be on the ground. His ministry was too big for any man to make any difference. He is the major office of the fivefold ministry, being the chief apostle. He was a minor messenger to this age, not the star messenger. I received a letter. It stated, Brother Jackson is not the star messenger. How can you then call him Paul? Oh my! Listen, Brother Branham is the star messenger to this age, but he is not an apostle, let alone be the chief apostle. He is only the star messenger. So that means he is the Paul of this day, only in one respect, because he is the star messenger. But he is not Paul in relation to office as an apostle, because Brother Branham is not part of the fivefold ministry, and hence, not an apostle. His ministry produced apostles. But Brother Jackson is the chief apostle. That makes him the Paul of today, not as a star messenger, but as a principal office within the fivefold ministry. Do you get my point? Brother Branham is Paul of today, not as chief apostle, but only as a prophet star messenger to this age, because Brother Branham is not part of the fivefold ministry. His ministry produced the fivefold ministry. But Brother Jackson is the Paul of today, not in relation to being a star messenger, for he is not, but in terms of being the chief apostle within the fivefold ministry. That is the principal office of that ministry. So he is the Paul of today. Nobody can tear that down, because you have to see what God has used him to accomplish. And I have to say tonight, no wonder we didn't want him to go. And because he did a beautiful job, why would we want him to go? Why would we even want him to die? Why would anybody wish him dead? What good would that do you? And what office would that give to you? It does not give you any office. I say that to those on the internet. It does not give you any office. It does not make you anything. If you cannot follow this continuity revelation, you are not going anywhere. You are not even in the bride, let alone be a minister of the bride. That is what they do not understand in the Branham movement, and that is what the bride will understand. But as for our departed brother, his large ministry is so preeminent. There is a limit to which God decided to use him. But he did a beautiful job, because it affected all our lives, and turned it around, and laid our feet upon the solid, infallible, immutable foundation. And through his ministry, by God's grace, we are not quitters. We can carry the same Bible, because God used him to teach us, and I am not ashamed of that, but I thank God. The Lord made me see what God was doing in this day. Thank God the Lord opened my eye to the voice of truth in my own hour, not another hour, an hour when I did not have existence. And God taking him home does not change the fact that he is the one that the prophet spoke about. That God took him home does not mean he is not he that is to come. He is still he that is to come. His death does not change anything. But can people see? Do they see? Would they even believe it? I have to close now. I appreciate your patience. But let me say this, I believe with all my heart, this coming year is going to be a serious year for the bride. I believe with all my heart, this year that is coming, year 2005, holds within it something wonderful. You know why? God will not put the bride in a cooler. He will never put the bride in stagnation. There is no stagnation, but there are men He, God, has prepared. Look at them sitting. And not only them, there are others in the nations of the earth that God has used the continuity message of His precious servant to give to His men. For what does the Bible say in Isaiah chapter 52 verse 8? In the Hebrew version, the watchmen shall lift up the voice. Singular voice. What is that voice? It is the apostolic revelation. What is the apostolic revelation? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, committed to the apostles. But what the message people don't know, the message following, is that there is an end-time father who is the chief apostle, an end-time father of faith. God just called him home to rest because he has done a beautiful job. And God knew, I have men who will carry on from here, and the purpose will be finished because there is work to be done. There is perfection to be obtained. There is a rapture to go in, and the hour is now that God will show the ministry of the bride. Grace would be upon them, but it says in Isaiah 52 verse 8, the watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing. He then adds, when Yahweh shall return to Zion, I believe it with all my heart, that when God turns Israel loose, because God deals with the bride in a parallel, you are going to see something upon the ministry. You are going to see something you never saw before. Brother, we will see something beyond your imagination and mine, because God has reserved His best dealing for the very end. It is perfection. It is homegoing time. I can't wait. I cannot wait for this to take place. But to then, we will keep humble. I said, we will keep humble. Those who want to run the roads and build an empire simply because the person who they think is their troublemaker is no more can run the roads. Run and let us hear. Let us see you do it. We are on the ground together. We will see. The showdown is just at hand. It is just at hand. But church, our portion is a joyful one, because I can go to bed and sleep, for I know what Jesus Christ has done for us, and what He has given to us in these past 38 years. It is something that my faith can anchor upon. It is Bible. And I know, there is nothing else heaven will honor, other than what is here, in the Bible, other than what we have received. It gives peace. Do I care for the dreams the opposition are peddling around? They can carry 6 dreams. They can carry 25 dreams. They can carry as many dreams as they want. You know what? Outside this revealed Bible faith, you are going nowhere. You are wasting your time. And at the end of the day, all you will have is nothing but vexation of the Spirit. And I don't have to say this, but your days are gone. Your days are over. This is the day of the bride. And this is the hour of the fivefold ministry. Because it is now the platform is established, now the men are raised up. Oh my! And God will begin to position them now. And when God begins to position them, you will see a grace you have never seen. Even though when you look at the body today, they are not yet perfected. But it will come. I appreciate the messages of yesterday. May God bless your heart. They are wise men. Brother Amos was referring to Brother Allen, Brother Bud, and Brother Godvend. They are humble men. You know what? They see something others do not see. That is why they can submit and join hands with what God is doing when you, who are opposing Brother Jackson, think you are a big one and you want to do your own thing. And I believe Faith Assembly will not be a museum. Yes, Brother Allen, it will not. And I will tell you why. A platform has been established. It is not for nothing. It is not for nothing. Together as one man, together as one ministry, in unity, we will carry this something, this continuity message, because it is the truth. And when God does that, it will be different in the bride, because something will happen. There is a quick short walk. The book of Romans tells you that. It is a short space of time for the ministry to walk. God can raise up men for many years to use them for just a small space of time. God raised up John the Baptist to use him for just 6 months. In 6 months, he turned the whole of Israel upside down. God raised up Jesus of Nazareth for 30 solid years, only to use him for 3.5 years. Time does not matter. Time means nothing to God as long as he gets his instruments in place. And for 38 solid years, God raised up a ministry, an army of men. This army will do the work, not because they are anything of themselves, but it is what grace has made them. This army will finish its work, and that which God has used our brother to establish, you will see the fruition of it, because even in your personal life, you will see a grace. God will take the words of their mouth and turn it to fire. Brother, it will burn in your bones. Brother, you will not be the same person, and before you know it, perfection is here. Perfection is obtained. And God will tell his own son, break the seal and go down for your bride. And he will break that seal, and here come 7 thunders. And before you know it, the day of rapture comes. The trump sounds in heaven, and here comes Brother Jackson to you with that lovely smile on his face. And you know that it isn't her. There will be no telephone calls to make to alert any saint that the rapture is here, because God will send his resurrected saints to you and I, and brother, before we know it, together, we are going to be caught up. But first, we will be changed. Our portion tonight is not a sad one. Our portion is a good one. Yes, we miss our brother, but thank God for his life, because of what God has used him to accomplish for us. He did not walk in vain. He did not labor in vain, because Jesus is alive. He is the one controlling this thing. He is the one directing it. And you will see something. It is a new day. It is a new day. It is a day when those men are to be lifted up, and they will do a beautiful job, and the bride will be beautiful. Brother Branham said, it is a super church. He called it a super church. The Spirit of God told him, pick up your pen and write. Brother, you have not seen anything yet. What God has mapped out for us is a glorious one. I thank you for your patience and for listening to me. But ask me, where are we? We are in the efficient hour now, because the apostolic father, the chief apostle, has set the platform. And God called our brother home, that an army of men can start the work. You will have apostles. Plural. I heard our brother say in the fellowship hall back there that there will be no more apostles. You are not talking Bible. I said you are not talking Bible. Because Brother Jackson stood for apostles. Plural. He stood for prophets. Plural. He stood for evangelists. Plural. He stood for pastors and teachers. You didn't hear him. You didn't hear him. There will be apostles, and it will not stop with apostles. It will be a powerful ministry, and it will be beautiful, and they will do the job. And brother, before we know it, we will go home. A quick short walk they are going to do. It will be powerful, quick, decisive, and God will leave the skeptics and those building their ministry outside the foundation to face the Antichrist. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your grace. You have been good to us. What precious words you have given to us in these past 38 years. It thrills and rejoices our soul that, Lord, we have been given such profound understanding, such rich understanding of your word that has been opened up before us, that we can see Jesus Christ in the purity of his revelation, that our souls may be adorned and prepared for thy glorious coming. Father, we thank you for the life of your servant, our precious brother Jackson, for what you have used him to accomplish for the Bride of Christ Universal, and for this platform you have used him to set for the ministry. Lord, through his ministry, we have all been raised up, we have all been tutored, and trained by your Spirit. Father, we thank you. Lord, all the glory goes to you. I pray, may you have your way in the bride, and be glorified. We thank you, Father. Bless each and every one. Lord, we thank you for Faith Assembly. What you have used this church to do for your people around the world, a lighthouse, and to give a truth, without price, freely, Lord, that the bride of Christ universal may see and be nurtured. O Lord, my Father, we thank you. May you bless Faith Assembly. Lead them higher and higher. Lord Almighty, bless the ministry of this place, our precious brother Alan and Bud. Let your grace continue to abound. O Lord, lift them up and uphold them by your power and build strength and spiritual vitality, O God, into their soul. May you bless, Lord, my fellow ministering brothers, and help us together as one man under God to carry this glorious torch of the revelation of Jesus Christ that has been committed to us. Help us to be faithful. But I know you have promised the ministry of the end time will be faithful. And John saw the bride. She was ready, and she was in glory, and she will be ready, and she will be in glory. Lord, may you bless the bride. And I say, Maranatha, come Lord. Come Lord Jesus, and do that which you promised in your word, for you will not fail. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. May God bless you all. Amen.